Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. I would like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. And we'll be continuing today going through our study in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 1. We're going to continue here in verse number 10, which says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." And as we've been looking at this passage over the last few weeks, we've finally gotten down to the end part of this verse, which is dealing with the issue of from the wrath to come, and talking about the time that the Apostle Paul says that the members of the body of Christ have been delivered from or are going to be taken away, so that no member of the body of Christ is going to face what the Apostle Paul is identifying as being the wrath to come. So anybody who has put their trust in the fact that Christ died for their sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, believing in that and that alone for their salvation, no individual that has done that is going to face what the Apostle Paul identifies here and calls the wrath to come. Now, the struggle that so many in Christianity have today is the identification of what is meant in Scripture by the idea of the wrath to come. Because individuals all, while so many people clearly identify the fact that we are not going to face that wrath, the idea is, you know, clearly identifying, because so many people have different interpretations of exactly what the Scriptures say. And we're going to look at some of these passages which are going to clearly show how the wrath that is being spoken of is the wrath of God that's going to be poured out. And what we're going to actually see from Scripture is that the time that is clearly identified as being the wrath of God is going to be a portion of the 70th week of Daniel. The wrath of God does not make up the whole entire 70th week of Daniel. Now, well, like I said, we're going to be looking at some verses that deal with the idea of the wrath first. So let's go over to Matthew chapter number 3, where we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ talk here about the idea of this wrath, and he's going to be talking to individuals in Israel's program and talking with them about how they thought that they could actually flee from the wrath that was going to come. Now we see here, and this is actually John the Baptist, not the Lord Jesus Christ speaking here, and it's going to be in verse 7 of Matthew 3, and it says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" So here you have John the Baptist identifying that there's a wrath that's coming, and you have these Pharisees and Sadducees who are trying to figure out a way that they could avoid being part of the wrath that's going to be poured out. And knowing that there was a way that individuals could actually escape what the Scriptures identify with that and being that wrath that's going to come. Now, the prophecies in the Old Testament clearly identify this wrath that's going to be poured out. Let's go over into the book of Isaiah, where we'll see Isaiah is going to write some things related to this wrath. We'll go over to chapter number 13 here in the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter number 13, and we're going to read here verses 9 and 10 of the chapter. It says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and a moon shall not cause her light to shine. So here we have Isaiah identifying these signs that are going to be part of what's clearly said in verse 9, which says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh." So as this day is actually coming, these signs are actually going to be upon them at that point in time. That's why we can see things, for example, if we go over to the book of Joel, and we look at what Joel says about the things that are going to happen before the day of the Lord that's going to come. And we're going to go over to Joel chapter number 2, to where we're going to see some things of, you know, in this prophecy as well. And here in Joel chapter number 2, we'll start here verse number 28. And then again, this will be another passage is going to be speaking about some things related to the day of the Lord that's going to be coming here. And it says, "And it shall come to pass after their word that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." Now, here you have Joel identifying these things and saying that there's a wrath that's coming, identifying the day of the Lord, and then lays out, here is a list of things that are actually going to happen all before the day of the Lord actually occurs. Now, in verses 28 and 29, you see some things that in the early part of the book of Acts, those are the things that are actually going on. And that's why you have Peter saying, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he proceeds to actually quote this whole exact passage, talking about how all of these things were going to happen before the day of the Lord actually occurs. And he's laying out and telling them that these signs that they're seeing, that's just the beginning part of all the things that are going to be pointing out what will occur and what is going to happen prior to the day of the Lord actually happening, before the time of the wrath of God actually being poured out. That's why you can see, if we go over into Matthew chapter number 24, where we're going to see in the passage, and this chapter deals with where the apostles had asked, you know, what are going to be the signs of the kingdom? What's going to be the signs of your return? And he starts to lay out a series of things that are going to be going on, and there are things that you actually see as you read through the book of Revelation. You see how these things that he's actually laying out actually line up exactly with what's being written in the book of Revelation, talking about the events of the 70th week of Daniel. But you see here, and let's pick up here in Matthew chapter number 24. I want to read here verse number 29. And it says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." Now, if you remember back from, you know, our passage in Isaiah, talking about those signs, talking about how there was going to be things in the heavens that were going to point to the fact that the day of the Lord was coming. You saw in Joel, in chapter number 2, how it listed out a number of signs that were going to occur before the great day of the Lord's wrath was going to come. Now here you have in Matthew chapter number 24, where it's talking about some things have gone on. Now, if we look at the whole entire chapter, you see that what's being spoken of here in verse number 29 is clearly after the midpoint, or you know, more than halfway into the 70th week. And he's saying immediately after those days, and then he lays out all of those signs that are going to occur. The signs that point to the fact that the wrath of God is actually being poured out at that moment. Now we can go over and mention the book of Revelation. Let's go to Revelation chapter number 6, where we're going to see the opening of the seals that actually occur, and you actually can see the timing of the events that's being laid out here. You know, the first couple verses in Revelation chapter number 6, you know, the first seals being opened, verses 3 and 4, the second seals being opened, verses 5 and 6, the third seal, 7 and 8, the fourth seal, 9, 10, and 11 deal with the fifth seal, the martyrdom of the saints, which, you know, again, if we're really thinking about the wrath of God being poured out on individuals, you would actually have part of God's wrath being martyrdom and the fact that he's actually having people killed because they're actually doing the right thing and standing, says, you know, they were slain for the word of God. So individuals who are actually doing exactly what God says, God's pouring his wrath out on people that doing exactly what he says. You know, that doesn't even line up with who God is. But when we pick up here in verse number 12, which is the opening of the sixth seal, we're going to see that the words are going to be very clear and identify exactly what is going on here at this point. Revelation chapter number 6, starting in verse number 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, in this passage, we clearly see, you know, those signs that Isaiah, the signs that Joel were pointing out of the things that were going to occur before the wrath of God, before the day of the Lord was actually going to be able to be poured out. We see, even in this passage, where the people are clearly saying that the great day of his wrath is come. They're identifying the fact that right at this moment, the wrath of God is actually being poured out on individuals. This is why the little flock had been told to flee into the wilderness, flee into God's protection, so that way they would not be part of the wrath of God being poured out with them actually doing the things that God intended for them to do. The members of the body of Christ will not be here when the day of the Lord actually occurs. That's what the promise that has been made, what we see the Apostle Paul actually saying. So no matter if a person holds the viewpoint and says that the rapture is going to occur pre-tribulational, prior to the 70th week of Daniel, it would be prior to this occurring. If they're saying it happens at the you know, the mid-tribulation, which really would be at the midpoint of the 70th week. Again, a person would be, you know, raptured up before this actually occurs. If a person holds the pre-wrath viewpoint, which is that the rapture is going to occur just before this event happens, the same thing, the promise of the fact that the body of Christ is to be delivered from the wrath to come, it holds true no matter which one of these promises it actually holds. Now, the problem that so many individuals get into is the fact that they teach the fact that the whole entire 70th week is the day of the Lord, and it is the wrath of God being poured out. Now, we already talked briefly about the fact of the martyrdom and how the fact that individuals who would be doing the right thing would be no longer in God's protection, but he would actually be punishing them for doing exactly what he had instructed them to do. We also see a problem that comes up. We go over to Malachi chapter number 4. We're going to see another issue that the prophecies actually speak about related to this. And here in Malachi chapter number 4, we're reading here verse number 5, which says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." So, before the day of the Lord is actually going to occur, Elijah actually has to be here. Now, if it's the fact of the entire 70th week is the day of the Lord, what would have to happen is one of two things would actually occur. Either Elijah would be here during the 70th, or during the dispensation of the grace of God, which would mean that we would have prophecy being fulfilled during the mystery program, or we would have another viewpoint, which is being taught now of how the rapture is going to occur, and then there's going to be a mystery part of the prophetic program of where there'll be a gap of time between the rapture taking place and the picking up of the 70th week of Daniel, the day of the Lord, and that all of these passages, such as what we just read here of in Malachi, of where Elijah is going to have to come prior to that, it would be fulfilled during this time. Now, to teach the thought process of that there's going to be a gap of time between the catching out of the saints in the start of this 70th week of Daniel, there is not one verse that actually says that that's going to happen. So, in order to be saying it, a person has to put their own bias and their own thought process in there to try to twist verses in a manner to make them fit what they're actually trying to teach. And a lot of times it's just thrown out there, well, there's a gap of time, and they won't even say anything to try to defend it because they know they have nothing to actually defend that type of a thought process. Now, in that 70th week of Daniel, you would have, there's three different periods of time that are actually being made a reference to in Matthew chapter number 24. And I want to go back over to Matthew 24 quickly, so that way we can actually talk about what it is that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he's answering that question when they ask in verse 3, you know, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And he's going to teach a number of things related to these signs that are going to occur. And you see, starting in verse 4, going down, I want to read verse number 8, It says, all these are the beginning of sorrow. So everything that he's saying in those first few verses, that's a time that's identified as being the beginning of sorrows. And that really is going to take up what's going to be the first half of the 70th week. Now, starting in verse 9 and ending in verse number 15 is going to be things talking about the middle part, the midpoint of that week, because that's the point when, in verse 15, it says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Talking about the Antichrist taking that position in the temple at the midpoint, then you have the next part where they're being warned to flee into the wilderness. You have the description where it talks about verse number 21, for then shall be great tribulation. So you have the beginning of sorrows, then you have this period called the great tribulation. As he's laying out some things, he talks about in verse 22 about, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So the elect's sake, talking about that believing remnant of the nation of Israel, the time of that great tribulation is shortened, so that way there could be salvation for these individuals. And then you have in verse 29, which we had read before, immediately after the tribulation of those days, and he starts laying out all those signs that are going to lay out what is the day of the Lord, and then concludes in verse 30 with his return to planet Earth and the establishment of the kingdom at that time, which happens right after the wrath has been poured out upon the world for the transgressions that have occurred. Now, we know that we're taken away from facing that wrath, not because of anything that we've done. We've been promised that we're not going to be part of the wrath of God because we're identified in the Lord Jesus Christ. And since he's not appointed to wrath, no member of the body of Christ could be appointed to wrath, could face any sort of wrath of God. That's why you see Paul talk about how we already have forgiveness, identifying it as a present possession for the members of the body of Christ today, because that's all part of who we are as the members of the body of Christ today. So, this teaching about the day of the Lord, I know that it is not what, you know, a lot of people actually teach. And I know that for some it's going to be a little bit hard to kind of understand, to really kind of grasp and take hold of it, because of the fact that so many individuals really actively teach against what was just said. Now, nowhere in the message today did I place the catching out of the saints in the 70th week of Daniel. All I did today was really point out how the 70th week is not all God's wrath, that there are portions that are the beginning of sorrows, there's the great tribulation, and then there's finally the wrath of God, which is really going to be the purification that's going to be needed to purify the earth in order to get it ready to establish the kingdom here on the earth. Now, if you have some further questions on this, I know that there's actually a study article on our website that actually goes through some things related to the day of the Lord in a little bit more detail than what we actually did in this episode. But we're going to close here on this. We're going to pick up with some of these things in our next broadcast. And as we close, I always like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles like the one that I just made a reference to. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday broadcast through either YouTube Live or Facebook Live. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments about, you know, these broadcasts, anything that's on our website, anything that you hear in our messages, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And don't hesitate to ask any questions that you might have related to these topics. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.